Good morning, folks. Well, the pole shift is no longer imminent. No, in fact, it's now. We saw several weeks ago a litany of media sources lay a pavement, a solid just flood of information and headlines from the Washington Post to USA Today, to the toilet paper of record, the New York Times. These sorts of mainstream propagandistic sources all put out pieces largely blaming Donald Trump for a government shutdown that precluded their ability to update the WMM, the World Magnetic Model, which is used for navigation and a host of other things. But they were all fluff pieces, and what happened was that you then went to Google geomagnetic pole shift, and all you got was this series of fluff pieces. Well, it's now easy to understand why this was done. In the weeks since then, and when the government reopened for business, they did actually push out the new version of the World Magnetic Model. Now, this wasn't due until 2020, but rather than just wait until next year, it was so far off already that they had to do an emergency update to the World Magnetic Model. And when that data was released, we saw it was because the part of the northern magnetic pole that is over Canada had attenuated so massively that the net pole, right, the result of the sum of all these constituent parts, has moved quite rapidly. It's snapping down, as we know, over Siberia. And that's happening much more rapidly than they had let on before us. And that's why they sort of put down this fat layer of, it's like compost, you put down a fat layer of disinformation, fluff pieces, and you drop the data, the bomb, and then they put another layer of this. Now that it's been updated, we're going to have to update our airport runways, and there might be a slight tweak to the GPS. That's the kind of nonsense, the minuscule changes that are included in these mainstream media reports, when the reality, as you and I know, is that time and time again, when the magnetic poles shift or flip on this planet, whether it's actually a reversal or even just an excursion, either way, there is a massive drop in the magnetosphere's strength, which functions as our shield against tons of things, viruses, but among those things, galactic cosmic rays. So I'm getting rained on. So this is obviously happening coincident with the grand solar minimum, which has the same effect. The sun's output drops, there's less of a solar wind that shields the Earth, and so we're getting a double whammy here. And that's why, I mean, this is truly, in the terms of a human lifespan, this is a remarkably unlikely time for you and me to be alive. The chances of this are ridiculously small, let alone all the nonsense that's happening out there in human realm, right? Where there's, you know, full-on demonic possession of the government trying to kill babies. It's getting ridiculous out there, post-birth abortions. And it speaks to, you know, the level of ridiculousness and the vectors that they're taking are pretty telling about a demonic presence here on this planet right now. And so it should be no surprise that that very same demonic presence is actively working as hard as it can, believe me, to keep everyone from finding out about the reality of this magnetic pole shift, about the reality of the grand solar minimum. And you see acknowledgments of each of these things in the media, but it's way watered down, and you should really be paying attention to Dancing with the Stars or something like that. That's where, you know, that's where your mind should be. So the media won't go anywhere near this, but indeed, this is an extremely, as I said, it's extremely rare for these things to be coincident, and it really, you know, I've stopped short of suggesting that this could cause a full-on glaciation, you know, really entering a new ice age, but with these two things working against each other and the rate at which this drop-off has been transpiring so far, that very well could be a reality. So we need to be acknowledging that minimally the pole shift and the super grand solar minimum, as Valentina Zarkova calls it, are happening at the same time, and that means absolutely the stability of climate that we've enjoyed on our planet for the past 1,000 years or so is, we're leaving that. That's gone now. And so with that, naturally, will go also our way of life, the way we've been growing food in modern agriculture, the way we've been producing and transmitting electricity. All of these things depend on that stability, and that stability is exiting the building. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means, you know, I'm optimistic, okay? And when I say that I'm optimistic, it doesn't mean that I don't think all of these things aren't going to happen, because that's what is, I mean, it's just the way it is. You can't think your way out of it. I'm going to manifest a different reality by thinking about positive things. It's not the way the law of attraction or whatever you want to call it. It's not the way it works. You're here in reality. I'm optimistic in that I think you and I can work together to overcome these challenges. Okay? It's been done before in human history with tremendous cost, even during the Little Ice Age, which was a fraction of what we're entering into. There were, you know, multi-million deaths just a couple hundred years ago to that. But I'm optimistic. I think that you and I need to be rapidly turning away from these old systems that depend on a system of climate that's already gone, right? It's not working anymore. And we need to be building up new systems. What do I mean it's not working anymore? Just look around. You know, we already talked about Spain and Italy losing 50% of their crops in formerly safe growing areas due to the frosts. The same thing has just happened in Jammu and Kashmir in India, where a ridiculously large, from their normal standards, snowstorm not only knocked down their power grid, but it also took down their drinkable, their water system. And worse yet, it killed permanently, right? That's the way death works. It killed off over half of their orchards. That's not something they can just replant next year and get back into production. That's a you know, a decade worth of loss before you could possibly get back there. So to see half of their orchards destroyed by ridiculous snows is, you know, that's not an easy thing to overcome there. And we're seeing more and more of these sorts of things where growing zones are shifting, agriculture is going offline. So, you know, in Japan, Hokkaido just recorded their coldest ever blast of air, which was so cold that it took off the fire extinguisher systems and nuclear power plants. And it was even recorded, this is sad, it was even recorded that dolphins were freezing in the ocean there, straight up.
陸別町の東に位置する羅臼町では、流氷に閉じ込められたイルカ9頭が死んでいるのが見つかりました。役場の担当者は、こんなことは初めてだと言います。
So, very sad. You know, these are all-time record colds, and it's stuff that we've never seen before, right? Dolphins freezing in the water just seems impossible, and that's because it was impossible under the stable climate that we've loved. But we're not there anymore. This is a new reality we're entering into, where dolphins do freeze in the water, where crops are lost completely, and we have to now be adapting to that new reality. It's not just, obviously, as I said, it's not just record colds and snows. It's all the other things that galactic cosmic rays bring, the hailstorms, increased volcanic and seismic activities, the droughts and the floods. On the heels of a historic drought last year in Australia, which killed off tons of livestock, now they just had Queensland in the last week has had an awful dose of flooding, which I don't even have words for this. Over 500,000 head of cattle were lost in the flooding there, which is a massive loss to endure. So these are the kinds of symptoms that we have been seeing and that I've been talking about here on the Ice Age Farmer channel, and that absolutely we will continue to see, and they will escalate and become more frequent and more drastic as both of these things, the pole shift and the grand solar minimum coincident, are you know, we're not entering them anymore. It's now. We're in them. And it's gonna still continue to accelerate. I want to thank Andy F. over at the Ice Age Farmer forums. That is forum.iceagefarmer.com, for posting about caloric intake and breaking things down. Because, as I said, I'm optimistic. I think we can adapt. I think we should all be standing up our own food production systems. I've been happily reporting on the progress. You know, see my video, Aquaponics 101, How to Grow Your Own Food. And I've extended that into these grow bags, which do air pruning of the root system, so you get a denser root ball. You can see some of them still make it through. And then once you harvest it, you just grab this bag, go compost whatever's left of the roots, plant something new, kick it back in here, keep things producing at all times. That's the whole idea here. But the reality is that these greens, while they're delicious, and while they do afford nutrition and healthy green, living green enzymes kinds of things, there's a world of difference between that and caloric production. And while I've got a wall of potatoes over there, Andy did some math and said, you know, the caloric reality is that we need to be accounting for about 1.5 million calories per year for a couple of people. Now, if you have two kids, that brings it to about 2.5 million calories. So for families, we got to be working. We got to be working hard here. But what does that mean? So to put that in context, I took a look at John Jeevan's work, How to Grow More Vegetables. It's a great book in general, and he has some references as far as what could one expect for a series of given crops if you grow, say, 200 square feet of them. How many calories can I get out of that per growing season? And so that's informative here. So for example, potatoes are the highest ones, and we'll start with those. For 200 square feet of growing one season, the following things, you can get this many calories. Potatoes are 80,000 calories. Green beans are 14,000 calories. Tomatoes, 16,000 calories. Yellow squash, 17,000 calories, if you can get yourself to eat 200 square feet of yellow squash. Carrots, surprisingly, 65,000 calories you can eke out of 200 square feet of growing space. Sweet potatoes, also up there, 65,000 calories, and that could be a perennial. You know, if you harvest some of those and then put it back, you don't have to necessarily worry about that every year. So these are informative, right? And when you look back at the original number, it's going to take 1.5 million calories to get a couple through a year. It can be pretty discouraging, right? If you do the math, that's about 7,263 potatoes, just to keep yourselves running, only on potatoes, which actually can be done. By synchronicity, I happened upon a podcast that was interviewing a guy who goes by the name Spudfit, and he comes from a different world, and that was the world of food addiction and weight loss and sort of the managing that. But it's interesting from here to look at that because he did manage to survive on vitamin B12 supplements and then strictly potatoes for an entire year. So it can be done if you have it in history, we know before. And I just thought that was interesting to sort of inspirational as well. So that's even then we're starting to look at how do you do that? How do you get to 1.5 million calories based on, heck, it takes 200 square feet of potatoes, the most calorie rich one to get there. We're talking about, you know, a lot of area of potatoes. And for most of us, that's just not possible, or it's very difficult. Certainly it wouldn't be possible to spin it up immediately. This doesn't take into consideration any theft, any loss, and you know, those crop losses, any pests. You know, this is a Excel spreadsheet world. It's far from the reality on the ground, and so there should be a huge fudge factor here. But even without that fudge factor, this is pretty alarming, right? And so then we start talking about, well, can we bring in rabbits? Rabbits are something that breed ridiculously quickly. Marjorie Wildcraft did a video called How to Grow Half Your Own Food. So she just sets that goal, 1,000 calories a day. And she works to get there through a combination of the garden, like I just described, and then rabbits, which grow rapidly. If it's not too hot, you can be breeding them. And so you can eke out, you know, about 115,000 calories a year, estimated from rabbits. And then also from chickens, if you've got six of them laying eggs, it's another, I think, 72,000 calories. So we see, of course, each of those introduce their own input demands, right? So for the chickens, you need something to be feeding them. We've talked about black soldier fly larvae and duckweed and how you can get there in other piecemeal ways. But there's still a need there that needs to be addressed. And the same, of course, true for, and you can free range them. So we got to be really creative in how we build these things up. And then, as I've talked a lot about in the past, I think this still speaks to the need to start introducing the virtuous cycle, the perennial polyculture, that garden we just talked about. You got to be out there working it and replanting it every year to get those annuals to pop out. Whereas if we go plant some fruit trees, and you should right now, then you can look and it's actually going to grow over time, right? So each year, magically, you'll get more and more calories out of this, and it's going to take less and less of our time. We won't have to be defending it from deer once the trees are big enough, that kind of stuff. So those are the food forest is the true, I think, virtuous cycle, and it takes years. It takes time to ramp up that calorie production, which is why, as always, I would recommend that even if you've got these systems now, you should be storing some food as well, some dehydrated food, whatever it takes to get there, because you will need to bridge the gap between here and there. So, folks, I hope that's just been a helpful quick look at how you can sort of start to break down from a caloric intake. What is it going to take to get me through the year and to keep my system running? And then you can start to mix in greens for the nutrition to keep yourself healthy, because we know there is a host of issues associated with the galactic cosmic rays and human health. And we're going to be tired. You know, we need to be running as optimally as we can. And certainly eating healthy food is a huge part of that. Getting enough rest, hopefully, as well. All right, folks. That is a big look at, and I wanted to be out here in the greenhouse to just do a face-to-face, a heart-to-heart, because this is the most important information that I could possibly conceive of needing to communicate to you. And I just didn't want to sit and try and edit some video together in a way that makes a compelling... No, this is it. There's no need or time for pretense at this point. And so here I am, telling you sort of how I think of things and asking you, how are you thinking about them? What are you doing today? You may not like the fact that we have to take these steps. And you can look away and ignore it, but you can now no longer say that you didn't know. What steps are you taking today to ensure your family's ability to thrive in the times ahead, this super grand solar minimum and actively shifting pole pose some really interesting challenges for all of us? And I'd love to hear from you. Let's absolutely, let me know if you're looking for folks in your area. I've got a database that I'm keeping of folks trying to network around there. And also that's happening on forum.iceagefarmer.com, where I hope to see you. And we're talking, like I said, we're talking about a lot of this stuff there as well. Thanks for watching, folks. Do spread the word. You know, the media and the cryptocracy is working against us all, trying not to let us get prepared. And it's up to us to work around those things, especially before the censorship finally clamps down on all of us. All right. Take care, folks.